561-3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network, on the air in Riverside at 91.7. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for jumping in, joining with us on Let's Face the Issues today. It is our prayer each and every day that the words that are spoken, the theme and issue that is covered, will be an inspiration, a challenge, a blessing, an encouragement, and an influence in your life to be found more faithful for what God would have us to do. That's our prayer. That's our desire. That is the focal purpose of Let's Face the Issues. Multitudes of times we have issues that perhaps you've never thought of. Many times we have. In fact, most times we discuss issues that most Christians, most conservatives and patriots have never considered and or they have consternation, confusion, and caution about. The reason we are doing this broadcast each and every day is so that you, our listener, can jump in, ask your questions, give your thoughts. It could be different from where we are. That's all right. We're not going to be concerned about a differing opinion. We just would love to have you look at what is being said, listen to it, and allow us to give answers and responses to your serious questions and comments relative to the issue. We're talking about today prophecy and world events. Prophecy and world events. What is biblical prophecy? Should Christians study biblical prophecy? Should we be concerned about biblical prophecy? What is prophecy about? What does it do? How does it relate to us as Christians today? Should we be concerned about it? Should we study it? Should we allow the prophetic text to direct our understanding of what God is doing? Those and many other questions that we'd not have time to answer today, we're going to focus on and try to give a broad brush understanding of biblical prophecy and world events and how it should affect us today. When I say affect us, I'm talking about every Christian, conservative, and patriot. We're thankful that we have this privilege and opportunity to come to you. And let me remind you, after the elongated monologue today, we're going to invite you to call. The telephone lines will be open. We'll open the lines and we'll ask you to call. And let me remind you, lest I forget it, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 831-0917. I believe that you have questions. We need to answer them, deal with them on the broadcast, and we look forward to that. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so from a central biblicist worldview. Now, I use that term, and I've used it for many, many years. I don't recall ever hearing anyone else use that term. I'm not saying that I coined the term, but I believe I did. Central biblicist worldview. That means our worldview, how we see things, what we view about things, and how we feel about things should be based on looking at the world events through the prism of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. That's our truth book. Jesus, as he's speaking to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, made this statement, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17, 17, a declaratory statement is made, "Thy word is truth." Then in Psalms 117, verse 2, the Bible says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." But truth is not something that's sought today. Truth is dissed, demeaned, rejected, refused, bifurcated, where there's the mindset that everyone has their own version of truth. It was the secularist George Orwell that made the statement, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And that is factual today. But truth does matter. Truth matters in every aspect of life. Truth matters in the civil government. Truth matters in social, ethical, moral things that take place in the world. Truth matters in biblical theological preaching and teaching. Truth matters. But we have the younger generation today, as they're called. An article that I'm holding in my hand says most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. Ladies and gentlemen, a half-truth is a whole lie. And the younger generation, the millennial folks, the millennials 18 to 35-year-old age group, say that each person has his or her own version of truth. There's not but one version of truth, and it's truth. And we find that fountainheaded out of the Word of God. This is the reason we say that prophetic texts, the prophecies in the Scriptures, should be read, should be studied, should be understood, should be applied, and it should cause us to have caution and yet comfort, encouragement, and hope as a result of it. If we go back to truth, I like to go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus said this in part, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." That's my challenge each and every day, that we love it, live it, tell it, and defend it. That is truth. There's coming a day, in my most humble opinion, based on the authority of the prophetic text, by the way, there's coming a day when Christians will be hated more than any other time in the history of the world. Jesus reminded his disciples of that in John chapter 15, verses 18 through 20. He said, and I'll paraphrase, if the world hated me, it's going to hate you. If the world persecuted me, it's going to persecute you, speaking of Christians. Yet there are a lot of Christians in consternation today, can't understand why the world hates us, why the world is persecuting us. I watched a little news brief this morning on one of the channels. I believe it was the Communist Network News Channel. Yep, I turn to it every now and then just to get a flavor of the lies that's being told in the media. But in the Communist Network News this morning, about 6:30, 7 o'clock, they were talking about nationalism, Christian nationalism, and they said it's because of these, I'm paraphrasing now, because of these wild preachers that's talking about we need to get back to the Word of God, that we need to bring America back to a Christian foundation, etc., etc. And the idea was from these that were doing that interview on the Communist Network News was that is the major, major problem today. Because the America was never created as a Christian nation. America was never created based on that. In fact, one of the preachers with the collar turned around backwards, that should give you an idea of his theology, he said, after all, we know the separation of church and state, that our founding fathers never intended to be a Christian nation. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand what the Scripture says and stick to it. And therefore, it's the theologian and church reformer Jan Hus said, we need to seek the truth, listen to it, learn it, love it, tell it, live it, and defend it even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power dealership company specializing in those that want to own their own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner, brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark, an identifier, a sign, if you will. And I do emphasize that because we're talking about signs in the Scripture today. That is the prophetic text. But the sign that you'll see at Tools for Time is a 165-foot flagpole. Top of that flagpole is the old glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. So, ladies and gentlemen, find the flag and the flagpole, the base of that flagpole. You'll find the home of Tools for Time. But, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. There's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance. They're hiring mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing all the staff at Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God as God's Word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, in just a few moments, We'll open our telephone lines. Invite you to call 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your question, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of today. We're talking about prophecy and world events. Ladies and gentlemen, as we witness today, listen, as we witness the events in the world today, many times we're left in wonderment, amazement, and saying, what is happening? Why is that so? What is taking place? What does all of these things mean to us today? When I say these things, let me just do a little parenthetical footnote. What does it mean when we see Russia rising up today? What does it mean when we see the Ukrainian war? What does it mean when we see Iran lobbing missiles at British ships and American ships and other national flagships going through the Red Sea? What does it mean when we see the war in Israel today? What does it mean? Is this something that's happened since? Is this something that God is taken by surprise on? What does it mean when we see what's happening in China and Russia, North Korea, Iran, Venezuela? What does it mean when we see, as the Bible calls it, wars and rumors of wars? What do all those things mean? That falls into the realm, ladies and gentlemen, of the answer that we're talking about today, and that is studying prophecy, learning prophecy, seeing what the Word of God has to say in relationship to it. Many are afraid today. Many do not want to delve into the study of biblical prayer. You'd be surprised how many Christian pastors rarely, if ever, preach from the book of Daniel, the book of Revelation, the book of Isaiah. Many other prophetic texts are found in those books, and many others, of course. But ladies and gentlemen, there are multitudes today that are afraid to preach on it, and there are a greater number today that's ignorant of what the Scripture says, prophetically speaking. May I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, when we study biblical prophecy, we do so, and as we do, we realize how much we don't know about what God is doing. May I remind us today, those that are afraid to delve into biblical prophecy and study it because they do not realize that God is showing us what He's telling us and what He's doing and what we can expect. Biblical prophecy, let me just say this, then we're going to speak a moment to Dr. Davis, get his input and thoughts, and then invite you to call in and have dialogue and discussion with us. Biblical prophecy, I believe, is very vital for us to understand what God is doing. I believe it's vital for us to understand what is taking place in His Word. The Word, the world is God's world. It is His. He created it. He owns it. He is sovereign. He controls it. And we should be excited about and interested in seeing what God says about it. Ladies and gentlemen, did you know that one-fifth of the Bible is about prophecy? Did you realize that one-third of those prophecies relate in some way to the coming of Jesus Christ in His second coming? The Bible records 333 prophecies concerning Jesus in the Old Testament, only 109 verses fulfilled in His first coming, leaving about 224 verses to be fulfilled at His second coming. There are 7,959 verses in the New Testament, of which 330 of those refer specifically to the second coming of Jesus Christ. I am thankful that we have this opportunity today in the brief period of time that we have. I believe when we're on the air, the clock speeds up some way. It seems that way each and every day because there's not near enough time for us to get through the process of what we want to say in dealing with an issue. We have with us today Dr. Davis, Dr. Glenn Davis, hailing from up in Georgia. I'm thankful each Friday that we have the privilege to sit and talk to you, our listener, about the Word of God and about what God is doing. Dr. Davis, thank you for being here. Thank you for taking time to come. We're looking forward to what God is going to say through us to our listeners today. Tell us something about your insight, your thoughts, and whether or not Christians should study prophecy. What's the end result? Why should we study it?
Amen. First, I thank God for being here today, and we'll say good morning to my bride of 38 years.
Time's flying, isn't it?
Amen. Who just had a birthday, amen. So happy, happy birthday, amen, still. Amen. And I just thank God for, amen, just the opportunity again to break bread,
amen,
with the Christian family, amen, God's family, amen, our family, amen, mm-hmm, our extended family all over the world. No matter what race, creed, or color, amen, on today, we have to realize If you are saved and filled with the Spirit of God, we are brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen.
Christ has torn down the middle wall of partition. So let us understand that it's time for us to stand together. Just like we see the other groups of people in the world and those who are degenerate.
Yes.
That are standing for things against the Word of God. Being that we are Christian today, we need to learn how to stand for the things
Amen.
Of God.
Amen. Absolutely.
So let us come together and come to know and understand what we are trying to convey to you concerning prophecy so that we will come to know and understand the word prophecy or prophesy means to foretell.
Mm-hmm.
God told us beforehand
yes.
of future events. So we don't have to wait to turn on the TV in the morning to see what's happening on the news or
That's
what's
right.
going to happen.
Right. When we see that, by the way, on the news, generally speaking, I tell my bride, I get excited about it because it's proving that God's word is true because it is being fulfilled on the radio and television and the newsprint every day,
Amen.
Some form
Amen.
Or fashion and, of his prophecies.
And that's what really should excite us the more, Dr. Youngblood. It does that for me.
Yes.
When I turn the TV on, and I know many times I've already read about a lot of that stuff in Scripture, and even when we look at the war against Israel right now, that was written thousands of years ago.
Yes, 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 yes.
Now, if God didn't want us to know, he wouldn't have put it in his
That's
word.
Right.
It's put there for his people. Now, let's understand, he didn't write a word to the people who are outside of the covenant. Now, they can pick up his word and read it if they want to. But 1 Corinthians 2, I believe over there tells me, I believe that's around verse 14, that the natural man can't receive the things of the Spirit because they are foolishness to him.
Yes.
Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Mm-hmm. So you have to get in Christ and receive his Spirit in order to receive the things coming from the Word of God and prophecy more especially.
Yes.
Since we're talking about that on today. Now listen, I did a little bit of research on that. Amen. For the believer, prophecy, knowledge of prophecy of Scripture provides joy in the midst of affliction. 2 Corinthians 4:17-18.
Absolutely.
So, you know, when we look at the things that are happening, and it tells us our light affliction, which is happening to us right now, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory.
Yes.
We have more greater things to look forward to, even after this life is over. Now, listen, we're going to enjoy some things while we are here, because God has also promised us that in his word.
Mm-hmm.
But the more we come to understand about his word, the more joyful we can count it all joy, like the scriptures say, and face the things that are here, knowing that no matter what happens, God is going to take care of his people. So what we're trying to tell you on today, even though we see the thing that's happening, it might be a little bit gut-wrenching and heart-wrenching at times, but I believe I did some research on the word fear, and that word fear, fear not, appears more than 365 times in Scripture.
Amen.
So that lets me know, if it's 365 days in a year, we have a fear not passage that we can take for our good each and every day throughout
Amen.
The year.
Amen. Absolutely. I believe Amen. We have Aaron on the line. Aaron, would you go ahead and question or comment, please? Hello, Aaron. Aaron, are you there? Let's go to our next caller. Kenneth, are you there?
Yes, Dr. Youngblood.
Go ahead with your question and comment.
Yes, sir. And I just want to tell you and Dr. Davis, I love to hear y'all.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Okay. I believe when Iran said that they're going to shoot missiles at Israel, I believe one of those missiles is going to be hit the Dome of the Rock where Israel can build their temple again. And they're going to blame Israel for it. I know
you. Well, Brother Kenneth, let me jump in to say something. Join with me in praying that God will clean the clock of what is called the Temple Mount and prepare. Because what most people do not know, or perhaps have never heard, the Temple Mount movement out of Jerusalem, they have already created all of the temple instruments and utensils.
Right.
They've already created all of the priest garments. They have in training year by year a whole group of priests for the future temple in the third temple as it will be built. So they are ready. They're waiting. They have bated breath, if you will, waiting for that Temple Mount to be cleaned of the mosque that is there so the temple can be rebuilt. And prophetically speaking, since we're on that subject, there will be a new temple. That temple will be in the days of the tribulation, during the 7 years of tribulation, there will be the worship, but unfortunately, in that temple will be the great whore, that is the apostate church that is spoken of in Revelation chapter 17. But as we understand prophecy and understand what God is doing, I don't know about you, Kenneth, but I get excited to see, prophetically speaking, what God is saying, and then we witness it being unfurled before our eyes each and every day on the screen of history present, based on history past and the prophecy of what God has said shall come
Amen.
About.
Amen.
Amen. Dr. Deborah, and I want to say this also, right quickly. It is like, he was saying it's going to be like both pounds. And once they get the temple built, and when they start doing animal sacrifices, the tree huggers and the animal lovers, they're going to just protest. And if they hit Iran, I would love to see that. And just
you can count on it. If Iran targets Israel in any fashion, Benjamin Netanyahu's already said we're going to clean their clock. So I am, as people might not understand, as I view it based on the authority of the scripture, it's an exciting time for us to live in, of seeing God's prophecies come to fruition, just like the printed page on the daily newspaper. God's word is being fulfilled. What we're seeing in the war with Russia and Ukraine, what we're seeing with Iran, that is old Persia standing up, Ezekiel 38 and 39, part of Ezekiel 38 and 39, now in the process of pointing to what shall take place in that day and time. We're seeing the edges of it. We're seeing the stage being set. We're watching the chessmen being put on the board. We're watching the theater ready to open the curtains and the theater of future tense taking place. And so I'm excited about it, Kenneth. And I pray that as we recognize these things, it will cause us, because the bottom line is this. When we see these things taking place, just as in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18, wherefore comfort ye one another with these words. It should be a comfort, encouragement, and challenge to the child of God to realize that God said it, God that settles it, it's going to take place just as God has said it would. So, Kenneth, brother, thank you so much for your call. Keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh.
And then, you know, Dr. Youngblood, if I can remember correctly, I mean, you can correct me. I'm pretty sure you've probably heard it or maybe seen it, probably just like I did. But if I can remember correctly, I don't know if this is their president, but Mahmoud Ahmadinejad came on national TV and said he's going to wipe Israel off the face of the map.
That's right.
Now, I don't know if that's still, I can't remember if he's the president of Iran, or I know it's over one of those countries.
Right.
But either way, if he's not their president, he's in cahoots with them.
That's right.
So they are, I mean, again, we can go back to scripture and see where there's going to be many nations that will come together against Israel, but they don't know that God says, I've got a hook in your jaw, mm-hmm. and I'm pulling you, in other words, to just cut it short, exactly where I want you to be.
Absolutely. And God is sovereign. God's still in control. Man is volitional. Man can make a volitional choice. Man has free will. So the free will of man, the volitional choice of man, is bringing these things about. But God is supernaturally, sovereignly bringing together the fulfillment of what he's already said that he was going to do in
Amen.
This whole world.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. So, Dr. Davis, the thing that I want to challenge our listeners with today. We're talking about prophecy and world events. So why should we study? Why should we know? Why should we understand biblical prophecy? Let me just set the stage here. You touched on it a moment ago, Dr. Davis. The term prophecy in the Bible encapsulates what I call the divine communication of God telling us future events. Prophets of old, as found in the biblical text, relayed God's unique plans, God's communication to us today. Dr. Davis, look up, if you will, please, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. 2 Peter 1:21, and I believe that sets the stage. It encapsulates what we want to say. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21.
Okay. It says, for prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Yes. So the author of the prophetic text is God, through the work of the Holy Spirit, speaking through men of old. Listen, as men of old, as we look at the book of Daniel, as we look at the book of Isaiah, as we look at the book of Revelation, as we look at any of the prophetic text in all of the scripture, it was not a case where man just sat down and said, I believe I'm going to write a story. And in fact, one of the things that is so, how would you say, ill-sounding to me is when somebody on some of the networks, the public broadcasting network in particular, they'll talk about the earth is billions of years old and billions of years ago, and they'll talk about where this was done. Even in some of the loose likes, lost liberal theological thinkers, they say that Moses, in writing the first five books of the Bible called the Pentateuch, that he didn't really write it. He was a redactor. He found these fragments and these pieces, and he just put them together, and that's what we have in the Bible today. That is destroying the sovereignty of God. That's destroying the creator controller of this universe in what God has said. So we find that in prophecy, it's where men of old, God spoke through them using God's sovereign purpose in their lives. If you please, God spoke through them, to them, through the Holy Spirit, speaking to their hearts, through their minds, through their fingers, if you will, writing the words that we have today.
Amen.
Is the benefit of what we call the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's the truth book, as I say so often on the introduction of this broadcast. Today, as we study prophecy, we often refer to this as the study of signs, benchmarks, directions. Just like a road sign today provides directions, warnings, and cautions for us as we drive. The prophecy, then, is very important as we look at the Word of God. It's important to understand prophecy. God wants us to understand His plans for this old world. Jesus, in His answering the disciples' questions, Jesus responded in Matthew chapter 24, verse 1, 2, and 3, verse 3 in particular. Dr. Davis, read Matthew 24. Just read verse 1, 2, and 3. 3 is what I want to dwell on to launch us into the balance of our thoughts today.
And Jesus went out, verse 1, and departed from the temple, and his disciples came unto him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?
Dr. Davis, it's fascinating because all of Revelation, all of Matthew 24 and 25 is the answer from the Lord Jesus to his disciples in that private conversation they were having. He pointed to the temple and talked about it being torn down, built in 3 days. He was talking about his body, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would be crucified but would be raised again on the third day. And so his disciples were curious, and his disciples asked three questions, and that sets the stage for all that we see in the prophetic text. Tell us, when shall these things be? So his disciples are saying, Lord, when will these things be? When will your prophetic words, when will it come about? Secondly, what shall be the sign, the semeion, the roadmap, the benchmark of thy coming? So his disciples saying, when are you going to return? And Jesus answers that in all of the prophetic text in the New Testament in particular. And then the other question was, when will the end of the world be? That is, what can we expect for the end of the world? So that's three questions his disciples ask, and in the balance of Matthew 24 and all of 25, Jesus answers the disciples' questions. So God gives us the prophetic signs for his guidance to us to understand what's happening today. That's
Amen.
The bottom line.
Amen.
So, Dr. Davis, do you believe that Christians need to know prophecy? Christians need to study the Word more? Before our break, just very quickly respond to that.
Well, if we look at 2 Timothy 3:16, it says all Scripture
Amen.
Is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction, for reproof in righteousness.
Yes.
That the man of God may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
Amen.
So we can be prepared no matter what the situation if we consult Scripture.
Need to be in the Word. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to continue our thoughts when we talk about prophecy and world events today. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back. Right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida.